we have the merit of having this very precious human life, the rarity of being able to listen to the Dharma, this we also have the merit of. And even more difficult is to meet an enlightened guru, and this we also have the merit of. And not only that, for you, the Vajra Guru is personally teaching you. And in terms of humans, our Vajra Guru is the Buddha for us. Our Vajra Guru is the closest connection we have to enlightenment. And apart from our Vajra Guru, which person is going to be able to teach us the profound Dharma? If you go and pay homage to a Buddha statue, it won't teach you. If you do the same to a Tanka, the Tanka is not going to teach you Dharma. And so our Vajra Guru includes everything we need, includes all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. He's our most valuable arising causes for being able to attain Buddhahood. And without the teachings of the Guru and the pith instructions and the path given to us by the Guru, it really is almost impossible to be able to attain enlightenment. And now when you go home, apart from work, use all your time to practice the teachings that Guru has given you. And now you're only meditating maybe 10 or 20 minutes a day after receiving so many years of teachings, and the 10 or 20 minutes you don't cherish. The other day, a couple that came to meet me, and they're around the age of 60, and after all of their years of work, they're still not able to make ends meet. So why, during all that time that they had known me, did they not practice? After so many years, still they're not able to make ends meet for themselves, never mind in the practicing in the direction of enlightenment or liberation. Is this merit? So we really must generate merit. Once we've used up our merit, then what do we have to rely on? And when you no longer have any merit, then whatever you try to do, you're not able to do it. Gradually accumulate merit, and it's only through accumulating merit that we can really uplift this life of ours. Accumulating merit is like recharging your battery. It's only when the battery really is recharged that we can live perfectly. In the past, every one of us generated different positive and negative karma, and as a result, our lives are very different. Our families, our parents are very different. Who organized the difference between the really rich and wealthy and the poor? Nobody organized this. We arrive in this world, maybe in a poor family, maybe in a rich family. How did this come about? As a result of our previous life. It's our previous life that has decided our current life situation. What we do in this life, the merit we accumulate in this life, will then determine what type of life we will have in our next life. The types of parents we will have in our next life depends on this life. And so in this life, we really must practice very diligently. And all the merits we accumulate in this life, we must dedicate to the benefit of all sentient beings. And why must we dedicate it to the 3,000 worlds of all the sentient beings? Because they are experiencing suffering. I've already achieved or attained this precious human life, and this is really much better than what sentient beings are experiencing in the other realms. For instance, in the hell realms, or the realm of the hungry ghosts, the suffering of the animals. Just think, even in having a precious human life, we still experience so much suffering. Even in the best realm to be in, the precious human life, we still experience so much suffering. So we must wake up. What do we call it in Buddhism? The awakened ones. We still deep in our dreams. A life without any light. And so we feel that we don't have any direction. We do feel that we don't have any security. It's just ourselves that have lost ourselves. And we can look at it from another perspective. Having this precious human life, we have the opportunity to attain liberation and to attain enlightenment. If we attained the realm of the gods, then we wouldn't have this opportunity to attain liberation or enlightenment. The situation we have now are the best conditions and the greatest merit. And if we really cherish this opportunity, then within 10 years or in 20 years, we could be an incredibly good practitioner already. However, if we don't practice in this direction, then 10 or 20 years later, we'll still be this ordinary suffering person. We won't have changed. The only change is that we will have become older. And it should be that as we age, as a result of our practice, we become more joyful, more happy, we have more cherishing. And the older we get, we think, yes, I really want to go into retreat. I want to practice diligently. And so you see, the direction that some people choose is very different to that of others. We still have to face the suffering of old age, the suffering of death, and then after that, the suffering that we experience in the bardos, and the suffering of our next rebirth, and the life we live. It may be that right now we are not facing death. However, when we are facing death, it's not as simple as we think it is. Really, the process that we go through in dying is not as simple as we think. There really is an incredible amount of suffering. It is as if the suffering of our whole life is the suffering of one day we might experience in the bardos. The suffering of removing your skin every day. And why do we experience this? It's because we didn't practice, we didn't repent our negative karma. Don't be like a cow's horn. Don't be that you don't practice, you don't repent your negative karma. You don't listen to the teachings of the guru. You don't follow those teachings. Don't be like this. Once you have met the guru, really practice very diligently. Meditate, recite mantras, read the Sutra of Great Liberation. Repent all the negative karma of your body, speech, and mind that you have generated since beginning this time till now. And repenting all of our negative karma is really important. So to repent it so that all of our negative karma is purified. Really repent, and repent very humbly, because if we don't purify this negative karma, the only way to remove it is to go through the experience of possibly going to the hells until this karma is finished. What is it like in the hells? Sakyamuni Buddha explained the experience of what it was like in the Vajra hells. He explained it in the Sutra of Great Liberation. And many arahats and many bodhisattvas heard of the suffering and they all burst into tears. Some even passed out. It's really the suffering that they experience is really incomprehensible. We aren't in the hells now, and we still have the opportunity to be able to attain Buddhahood. We have the opportunity to attain liberation. Where did all of the past Buddhas and Bodhisattvas come from? We think that they've all come from the pure lands. This is not the case. They came from being sentient beings, the same with Avalokiteshvara, Chenrezig. When Chenrezig was in samsara, Chenrezig was saved by Amitabha and then studied and listened to the Dharma of Amitabha. And if you look at these paintings or the tankas of Chenrezig, you see that above Chenrezig's head is Amitabha. Oh, the root guru of Chenrezig is Amitabha. It was through practicing and studying with Amitabha that Chenrezig attained enlightenment. And look at Sakyamuni Buddha. He started at times from in the hell and then attained human life and then attained enlightenment. Buddhas come from sentient beings. And so we really have no reason to believe that we can't attain Buddhahood. It's just a question of whether or not we are diligent and pure. And as long as we are conscientious and hardworking, we possess all of what is necessary to be able to attain enlightenment. There aren't any better conditions than this. Having this precious human life, meeting with the Dharma and receiving the teachings, in addition that you are receiving great perfection teachings and that you have met a Vajra Guru and you are following the guidance of a Vajra Guru. And then just through some diligence, and we master the practices, we can start attaining realization. And what is it through which we must attain enlightenment, Buddhahood? It's through this mind of ours in this present moment. Through this mind in the present moment. It's just that now this mind of ours is lost. This mind of ours is lost and scattered. Some are lost and confused through material concerns, some within the theories and knowledge of Buddhism. And if you're lost, no matter how you're lost, you're still lost. If you are lost as a result of theory instead of practice, you are still lost. If you're caught up in all the reasons and analysis and without realization, this is also confusion. And so really, we must all settle down and practice diligently. We can all practice the way of the Bodhisattva and the words of my perfect teacher. And then once we've established the outer preliminaries well, we can practice the inner preliminaries. And then after that, we can practice the cutting through the textual practices and going to retreat. Have any of you been in retreat? You can go into retreat. 3 days, 7 days, 3 days, 7 days. In Chengdu, all the students over there are in retreat. And the students here also, you must go into retreat. What is 3 days or 7 days retreat for you? How many days, years have gone by in your life already? In the last 40 years, how many days, how many hours have you already wasted? And so really, what is 7 days? So definitely, you must go into retreat. Go into retreat, come out, request pith instructions, go back into retreat, come out again, request pith instructions. And then also, for a few days when you're at home, practice 3 or 4 days of silence. Don't answer your telephone. Go back into retreat. And if you do this really, you will find that this world within your mind will be completely different. If you settle down, just sit there, don't speak for 3 days, don't look at your phone, it's really no problem, is it? You can also go into retreat for Saturday and Sunday. And if you do this, you will start to think, wow, I've really found a very peaceful world. And in this respect, step by step, I will guide you, I'll teach you, and step by step, study, practice with me. Today we won't teach any great perfection because some of the students here are going to take refuge and are still busy studying. So the pith instructions we will transmit individually, one to one. And then what I really taught now was with respect to the blessing of having this precious human life and the direction we should have with respect to having this precious human life, and eventually what the success will be of having this precious human life. Go to the Tibetan burial grounds. If you look, you see body part, body part, body part. Really think, every one of us, we are born, we're going to die. What is going to happen to every single one of the people that has achieved a lot of wealth or fame or status? And then people suddenly have an accident, and then where do they end up? And then they die, or they end up in the Tibetan funeral ground, and there the lama that is working there is taking a knife and cutting their body to pieces. And then you really think, everything that we've done in this life, what was it all for? If you are Tibetan, at the end of this life, the final result is you end up in the Tibetan funeral grounds. Maybe you end up in the graveyard or the crematorium in other countries. And when we look at this, what at the end of the day is the result of this life? And if we really look at this, then what is there that we are not able to let go of? Go to the Tibetan burial grounds, go to the crematorium, and you see at the end of the day, what is the end result? What is the meaning of this life? This human life is impermanent. It doesn't matter how rich you are, how much fame or status you have. You only have so many decades, and the final result is just this. And this is something we all have to face. And when we really look at this, what is there that we are not able to just naturally let go of? Oh, I'll just work well, and with the time I have, I will study well and do some meaningful things with this life. And it's only if we do meaningful things that this life of ours has some blessing. And so go and tidy up, manage our lives. All of the rubbish, get rid of it. Whether you have a family or you don't, the end result is the same. Look at the monastery. how many nuns and monks there are. There might be a few thousand, tens of thousands. What is their goal? Their goal is to practice to attain enlightenment. With respect to existence, they understand this. And it's because they understand this is why they've chosen the path of liberation and enlightenment. Tomorrow, we will do some teachings and some empowerments. And then after the next 2 days, I suggest that we all go to La Rong and have a look around over there. And we can see the place where His Holiness Jigme Ponsok was. And I was also over there as a student. And then next time we can go to Yachen Monastery. And really, when you see this, you will have a completely different idea. Wow, so many people are here in order to attain enlightenment. You look, and as far as you can see are these small wooden huts. Currently, many of these wooden huts have been torn down. Still, if you go there to the place where His Holiness Jigme Ponsok was teaching, you can really feel the blessing there, the blessing of his mandala of teaching. The blessing is really great. See, you come to Tibet to meet your guru. You have this opportunity, the blessing of meeting the guru, receiving teachings and empowerments, and the possibility to go to these very auspicious monasteries. And this is really of great merit. If you didn't have the merit, irrespective of how much money, how rich or famous you were, never mind even coming to a monastery to listen to Buddhism in your whole life, you might not even light a single stick of incense in offering to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And all of this is as a result of your previous life's merit. And your previous life's merit is now starting to ripen. And in the process of this merit ripening, maintain a pure mind and diligently practice. And then the end result is naturally you will attain Buddhahood. Attain Buddhahood is just you becoming enlightened. It's that simple. What is it? It's understanding your own mind and realizing your own true nature of mind. And then you realize, ostensibly, inherently, you are a Buddha. Just for a short time, you got lost and now you've returned home. Just now, you simply transformed yourself and now you are Chenrezig Zig. And so, being lost for a little while is no problem. Now, since now that you've taken refuge in the Guru, since yesterday, now you are starting to return to your true nature of mind, gradually realizing your Rigpa. And so then in our next life, we won't be so weak and feeble. We'll be just like the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. We really won't be in such a sad state. And so really practice very diligently. There is nothing more important than practice. Bring an end to samsara. Don't continue revolving around in samsara. We have the great Dharma to be able to attain enlightenment in this lifetime, to be able to attain rainbow body, or to be able to attain liberation in the bardos. And as long as you continue practicing, I will continue teaching you the pith instructions. And then in 10 or 20 years, you really will be quite incredible as a practitioner. This life natural, next life free. And definitely this is the case.